Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for your words, and what a wonderful gift that you've given us. The gift of your words, not only that, but the gift of your Son, and we thank you for both of those gifts, Lord. What a great and wonderful thing you've done. Now, we pray, Lord, that you would just help us as we go through them today. We pray that you'll open up our eyes and our hearts to your words today. And we pray for those that are traveling to churches around the world today, Lord, that you just give them grace to get there and give them safety. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Now, we got through a couple verses of this last week. We'll go through it a little bit more. Okay. Verse 22, we'll start off.
They're in the world.
The Bible says, and straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away.
Go with me if you would to Revelation 17.
And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart.
Revelation 17.
And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves,
there's somebody
for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled,
saying,
it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear.
Something's going on. I don't know. Maybe it's
but
in
straightway,
there.
Jesus spake
chapter 7,
or
saying,
Matthew, or Revelation
cheer,
chapter 17,
be not afraid.
Verse 15. And Peter answered him,
let's
and
go,
said, Lord,
verse 14,
these shall make war with
thou,
the Lamb. And a lamb shall overcome them,
thee,
for he is the Lord of lords and King
and he
of
said,
kings.
Come,
and when Peter
there,
was come down
capital,
out of the ship,
lowercase,
he walked on
and that's
the water
something.
To go to
when
Jesus.
He's talking about the kings of the earth,
but when
it's
he
lowercase.
Saw,
but when
the
he
wind,
says Lord of lords, King of
he
kings,
saw the wind.
Hey, he's talking about us.
He was afraid.
Right? Praise the Lord.
And beginning to sing,
so,
he cried,
and they that are
Lord,
with him are called and chosen
Lord,
and faithful. And he said unto
me,
the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth,
said, Lord, save me.
Are
and immediately
peoples.
Jesus stretched forth his hands
and
caught him and said unto him,
O
thou
and
nations,
and
wherefore didst thou doubt?
And so,
when they were coming to the ship, the wind
very
ceased.
Well be a picture
then they that were
of when his disciples are sent
him,
out
saying,
to the world to preach the gospel. And you have
okay,
the Holy
so
Spirit
last week we,
pictured as the wind. We went
going
we contrary
some
to men,
that we,
to nations, to people,
that we
and
really
to tongues,
go and look up,
which causes
okay?
a turmoil in
and,
the sea.
We're
going to
try and look some of them up this week.
And,
verse 22.
And I don't know about
go
you, but
you
when you start witnessing for Jesus Christ in the world,
and straightway,
you're going
Bible
to
says
receive
Jesus constrained his
ridicule,
disciples
you're,
to get into
going
a ship
to be problems.
And to go
going to be
before him unto the other side while he sent
waves.
The multitudes away.
And it's going to
and so last
you.
Week, we saw a little
just
about
like
where Jesus
being
departed
tossed
to.
In the ocean right now,
where he departed
sea.
To.
Okay.
And basically...
it's a picture of when they're going out and giving
the
gospel.
Mountain.
What happened to the
what
disciples?
Went to here.
When they
okay,
gave out,
know,
when they gave the message out,
that they got killed.
When he leaves the earth, he went to Mount
right?
Zion.
And
the
that's what
Christians
the Bible
are
says.
Persecuted.
That he's
Paul was
Mount
one
Zion.
Of them that was persecuting the Christians.
And that's found, if you go with me, if you would, to Psalm 48.
And so there's turmoil out
I
there.
I wrote down a
there's going
last
to be
week.
Turmoil out
we'll
there until the Lord comes back. And you can expect it.
And it's found in numerous other places.
You've got a job to do. Jesus gives you something to do. When you go to
he's
do
coming
it,
from,
it's going to be
Mount Zion when he comes back.
There's going to be waves.
Okay.
There's going to be times
verse 48,
of
or,
hard
sorry,
times.
Chapter 48.
It's not going to be this nice, peaceful
the Bible says,
ride
great
to
is
the
Lord
side.
And greatly
it's
to be
going
praised
in the sea of our God
in the mountain
and you just
of
have
his
to deal
holiness.
With that.
Because that's just
for,
the way it is.
Beautiful.
And if you don't want
for
a situation,
it,
the joy of the Lord
do anything for
is
the Lord.
Mount Zion. On the
but you're
size
still
of the north.
Go through waves,
the city.
There's still people, there's still
king.
Tongues, and they still picture
okay.
the water out there.
And God is known.
And,
God
and,
is known.
And
they're
still going against the Lord.
The kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw
and they're
it,
still going against
and,
his
and
words.
They marveled. They were troubled.
And
they
so,
hasted away.
This could be a good picture of that.
There's a Mount Zion on earth. And there's
those that don't
want
to do things God's
okay.
way.
And that's where Jesus
and,
is.
And those that are going contrary to what God
also,
wants.
We saw last week how Jesus
they're
is
gonna cause those who are going that
us.
Way to
we
suffer.
Looked that verse up in Romans. When
now
he
go
went
with
up,
me, if you would, to 2
Matthew,
Timothy,
he went up into a mountain
2 Timothy.
To pray. When Jesus went up,
Into heaven.
Three.
He's 12. Making intercession for us.
There's a scripture reference
for that. Found again in Romans. When you
Romans
do things
8.
God's way, when you do things the way it's
found in Romans
written 8, down
we
in
can
His
go
Bible,
there again.
According to what He says,
Romans
this
8,
is what's going to happen. 2 Timothy 3.
For those of you that 12. Weren't here last week.
Yea. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What did the disciples do? They did what Jesus said.
Verse 34.
Who is he that condemneth?
Suffering.
It is Christ that died, yea,
they're suffering
rather, that is risen again.
The,
who is
the
even at the right hand of God, who
and
also
let me tell you, it's not fun being out
in the water when there's waves
and
that,
so,
you know,
praise
there's
the
a
Lord,
storm out there.
God
it's
is
not praying
fun.
For us.
Nobody
daily.
Goes fishing in a storm.
They
and,
go fishing in
but
when
that's
it's
what
nice,
he did. He went up in a mountain to pray.
On him, and then they get out of there.
And so
right,
we're looking at
fun.
What
unless
this could be a picture
with
of
me, and then we go okay. out when it's
and
nice
so before Jesus
we
leaves
way,
to go up into heaven
out,
here on earth,
right?
Before
he leaves,
at those
that
live godly shall
suffer
persecution.
What does he tell them to do?
And so when you do what Jesus is asking
found,
you to do,
go,
if you would to Matthew, Matthew chapter
just like
28,
the disciples did.
He tells
and,
them to do something.
You're going to suffer from
He's constraining
people.
Them here to get into a ship.
That's where the
right?
suffering is going
to
come.
What does he tell the disciples
to
do? Matthew 28. And they gave them a hard time. They gave Jesus a hard time. They gave John the Baptist a hard time. They gave the prophets the hard time in the Old Testament. What makes you think it's going to be easy for you?
Right.
Verse 19, the Bible says,
it's not.
Jesus is telling
and
his
so,
disciples to go
that's
ye
why
therefore
we need
and teach all nations,
teaching,
baptizing them
right?
in the name of
because
the Father and in, of the Son and of the Holy
the
Ghost,
here.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even
need
unto the end of the world.
Because you've got
okay.
the disciples
Let's
here.
Go, if you would, to
they
Mark,
had to
Mark
be
16.
Constrained to go.
Mark 16.
Right? They just didn't say the first time, oh, yes, Jesus, we're going to get in the boat and go to the other side. They were constrained.
16, verse 15.
How many times did Jesus have to tell them the command that he wanted them to
verse
go?
Verse 14, after,
God,
afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat
once.
And upbraided,
and
that's
and
upbraided
why
them
we need preaching
with their unbelief
and
hardness of heart
time,
because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen.
Getting to do
and
something
said
that Jesus says, right?
And go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
You don't
he that
go
believeth
anymore.
And is baptized shall be saved.
What happened to the disciples the first time when Jesus had them get in a ship?
Now, if you would go with me to
this big storm came up and they were afraid they
Acts
were going to die. And then the second time Jesus tells them to do
place.
Something,
before when Jesus goes
water,
up in the mountain, before
get
he
on
goes
another
up
lake,
there,
or get on another
before he's
seat,
sitting on the right hand of God,
and you've
before
got,
he's in Mount Zion,
you've got the disciples going, what's going to happen to me this time? Right?
He says to his disciples, one verse
and
eight.
So he's got to constrain them, and that's why
but
we shall receive teaching
power
because
after that the Holy Ghost
the first time we
you,
go out there
and
he
shall be witnesses unto me
and we
both
get
in
Jerusalem
by people, and in all Judea
we're
and
less
Samaria
to go out there
and unto the uttermost parts
so
of the
when
earth.
When the Word of God is being taught okay. to us and preached to us, hey, it gives us some encouragement to
now,
get out there and do it
who
again.
Who does he send forth with his gospel message?
And so Jesus has to
who
tell them.
Jesus
he's
Christ
to constrain them to get on this boat.
He sends forth
he's got to constrain them.
He probably okay. told them more than once.
Later on,
verse 25,
they have the gospel message, folks.
Matthew,
we don't get
14.
The gospel message unless it comes from them.
We don't get it.
Matthew 14, 25.
Who are
and
the first born again
night,
Christians?
Jesus went unto them
in the church of
on
God.
The sea.
Mark 13, 35.
Think about it.
Disciples.
I don't think we looked this up the last
disciples.
Time.
Disciples. Mark 13,
35. And what has Jesus just shown us here? He's showing us that
the
nation
says,
of Israel, who was supposed to bring the message
of
in the Old Testament,
is
as
a man taking a far
journey to
his house and gave authority
and they didn't
to his
do,
servants, and
he's
every man
giving it to
poor,
them again.
Commanded the porter to walk.
And until they get it right, he's going to keep there
until they get it right.
For ye know not
he's
when the
keep
master
doing,
of the house
doing this until they get
even.
It right.
When he comes
that's
back and he sets up his kingdom, what is he going to do?
At midnight?
The nation of Israel is going to be the head of the nations. And what are they supposed
to
do?
Supposed to go out
in the morning.
Supposed to make from 3
get them converted.
Bring them to Jesus Christ.
When's Jesus
coming? Not everybody's going to be saved in a millennium. When Jesus is reigning for 1,000 reigning on earth. Not everybody's going to be saved at that point.
Those are in chronological
and the Jews are going to be the head of the nations. And so,
who does the 12 disciples represent?
That's what we have to go by.
They represent the nation of Israel.
Would be the morning, right?
They represent the nation of Israel.
Fourth
and
watch.
So, when Romans 1:16 says, let's go there if you would.
Is that the darkest time of the night?
That's when look at what it says.
At the very the last stages of being gone, right?
Romans 1:16.
Darkest time.
Says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
And they cried out for fear.
To the Jew
first. Now think about this for a little bit, right?
Who got the message first?
Doctrinally a picture of the nation of Israel going into the tribulation. With the nations,
12 disciples,
and the tongues, and again into the body of Christ, or in the body of Christ,
before anybody else,
the rising up against this nation,
and so the Bible's true when it says that
salvation is to the Jew first,
and then it's
also to the Greek.
And this nation of Israel has probably seen some pretty weird things up to this point.
Go with me if you went back to Matthew 14.
Because we know that the Antichrist will be able to do signs and wonders.
Let's see, verse 24.
That's found in 2 Thessalonians, I believe. He can do signs and wonders. And he's able to deceive the nations.
So what we're taking a look at here is,
and picture, if you would, this nation of Israel. And they're going through the tribulation. They see a lot of this weird stuff going on. And what happens if somebody just shows up walking on the water? What would you think? What if you saw that? Would you think, oh, that's Jesus, and go running out to him with your arms up? No. You'd be troubled. You'd be probably so scared, you'd be putting your head under the bed, going, Lord, take it away. I don't want to see anymore. Yeah. There's some weird stuff that goes on out there that if we saw, we would probably, we wouldn't make it to the bathroom. Right? But think about these guys here. Put yourself in their shoes. What would you think if you were on the water and you saw a person walking over? Not saying anything. Probably going like this. I don't know if that's what he was doing. It doesn't say his arms were out. It doesn't say they were down. But, you know, there's seas out there. What if he's walking over the waves like this? You see this person coming to you. What would you think? These guys were troubled. Hey, they've been through some bigger waves than these. They weren't afraid of the waves, but they were afraid when they saw this thing walking over to them. They called it a spirit. But when Jesus comes back and that nation sees Jesus, I believe he makes an appearing in the tribulation. Anybody ever hear that before? That he makes a mid-tribulation appearing. And just think about what these people are going to think. I mean, they've seen this Antichrist do some pretty weird things. And, I mean, you've got holograms now in Disney World that you can see a person in the sky. What are they going to think? Are they going to be afraid? Probably. And probably everybody's going to be afraid when they see Jesus coming back. And they should fear. And they should fear, but not. They should fear Jesus because he's capable of crushing them in his hands, crushing them. They shouldn't be afraid because there's just some spirit coming. He spoke the world into existence. He could speak you out of existence. Think about that. You should be afraid of him. So this right here looks like it's an appearing of Jesus Christ in the tribulation. That's what it looks like. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, the only thing that nation is going to have that is for sure is the Word of God. That's all they're going to have. They're not going to be able to go by their sight, folks. And they're going to have to be questioning everything they see and everything they hear. And they're going to have to line it up with the Word of God. Or they're going to be deceived. And here's Jesus Christ speaking to them. He's speaking to them. And so they're going to be seeing all these lying wonders. They're not going to be able to trust it. What does Peter say? We have a more sure word of prophecy. They're going to have a Bible. They're going to have the Scriptures. And they're going to have 144,000 Jews preaching to them out of those Scriptures. And so that Jew is going to have to be listening to the Word of God. He's not going to be able to see what, or he's not going to be able to trust what he sees anymore. Okay? Go with me, if you would, to John. John 10. And these are all basically practical things. We're looking at practical things in a doctrinal sense. Trying to place your shoes, you got to try and think about what it's going to be like over there to understand some of these things. John chapter 10, verse 14. Where did I go? Okay. He says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 26. But believe ye not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What's Peter getting ready to do? Right? They know it's Jesus when he speaks. Back in Matthew. And that Jew in the tribulation is going to have to, he's going to have the Word of God, and he's going to have to believe it. That's all he's going to have. And when the preacher's speaking and they're verifying it in the Word of God, that's what they're going to have. And Peter answered him, said, Lord. He already knows it's the Lord. He just spoke. Lord. You think he'd be saying that to some devil out there or some unclean spirit in the water? No. He knows it's the Lord. He heard his voice. It is I. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Okay, verse 28, 29, and 30. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, this looks like a picture of some of the remnant of the nation of Israel in Jerusalem that come out of that nation. They come out of the ship. Where the nation's at, after they see Jesus appear in the middle of the tribulation, and they see the abomination of desolation, they start running off, right? And so it looks like that as they're running, they get out there, and they're fainting out there in the wilderness because they cry out to Jesus Christ from Sela Petra. They're going to cry out to him, and he's going to save them, okay? But they're going to have to walk out there. They're going to have to get out there. So that's what it looks like here. Now, maybe you guys have something other that it's showing to you, but that's what it looks like to me. The Bible says here you can see the wind. Now, if you put yourself in a vacuum and you take away the earth, and you take away the trees, and you only have just the wind out there, can you see it? Well, now start adding some things. Start putting yourself in the middle of the ocean and put water out there with waves. Now, can you see the wind? I think you can. Bible says that he saw the wind. And maybe you can't see it until there's a bunch of mist incorporated in it. But Bible says he saw the wind boisterous.
not only did he see the wind, but I know he saw the effects of the wind. Okay? Go with me, if you would, to John. John 3:8. A lot of people say that this verse here, the Bible says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay? So, let's look at this again. It doesn't say you can't see the wind. That's not what it says. It says, but canst not tell whence it cometh. Do you know when Jesus was created? Do you know when the Holy Spirit was put forth in time? You don't know whence he came. There's no place in time or in place where you're going to point your finger and say, that's the beginning. Try doing that with the wind. Find out where the wind came from, where it originated from. You're not going to do it. Sorry. Okay? But you can see the wind. The Bible says you can see it. Not only that, you can hear it. It says right here, and thou hearest the sound thereof. You can hear the sound of the wind. Peter saw the wind. So, and you can see what the wind can do. The wind can take and blow down silos that are bolted into concrete structures in the ground and completely annihilate them. Okay? The wind can lift up whole towns and make it a bunch of rubble. Can you see the wind twirling around in a tornado? Okay, so listen. You can see the effects of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. You may not be able to say the Holy Spirit originated over here and this is where he's going to end up. But you can see what's happening in the people's lives. All right, that's all we'll say about that one. Well, let's go back and we'll finish this up. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. He says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Immediately he stretched forth his hand. Okay? So, this is a great picture, folks, of the saving of a soul. But it's also a great picture of the daily saving that we need as Christians. Okay? Because you're going to be out there in the waves, amongst the waves, amongst the boisterous wind. And if you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to start to sink. It says right here, Peter had little faith. And you can have faith of the saving of a soul, and you only need a little. You only need a little. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a little faith, right? That's all you need is a little. And then you could be out in the world, walking on those waves, walking amongst the people where there's turmoil. Take your eyes off of Jesus and start to sink. I'm not saying you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what I said. I'm saying you can start to sink. And you can call out to Jesus, Lord, save me. And he can save you from the situation that you're in. The situation of doubt. Take your eyes off the Word of God, you're going to start doubting some of the promises that he has. And then when you start doubting those promises and you start doubting the assurance, hey, you can say, Lord, save me. And immediately he's there, right next to you, to pick you up out of that sinking sea that you're sinking in. Because you put yourself in that position. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. When those Jews, when Jesus comes back, and he gets that remnant, and he saves them, Lord, save me. What's going to happen? He's going to set up his kingdom, and the winds are going to cease. And the tongues and the nations, they're going to be under his rule. There's not going to be any more war there. Not for 1,000 years anyway. Okay, and we're going to go ahead and stop there. Then they that were with him in the ship worshipped him. Those that are get into the millennium are going to worship Jesus of a truth. Thou art, and say, Thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gerasenes. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. What's he going to do? He's going to heal the diseased people that come to him in the millennium. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for your words, and thank you for this church, and thank you for these people, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're just a great Savior, and you can not only save our souls, but you can save us from the daily mess that we get ourselves into here on this earth. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that you would just bless the message today. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.